You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. I really thought about going and getting some face makeup and just drawing huge black shit under my eyes, because they ran out of the black shit makeup on the making of the Swerve. I'm telling you what. I don't think this actress, Azura Sky, actually stayed up for 4 days. The only way to get that look that she has for 90% of this film. We need to look like someone's punched her in the face like 7 or 8 times. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Come on. There you go, honey. You look hideous. We are talking about The Swerve. This is a debut feature film by director Dean Capsalis. Kind of surprised, actually, because there's a lot of things about this that feel like this is not the first movie somebody has made. I did not watch this thinking this was an amateur effort. Certainly, a lot of the actors are people I'm like, I've seen them before, but where? Incidentally, lead actress Azura Sky, who is probably the most remarkable thing about this film, her performance. I'm kind of embarrassed to say I knew her from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So that goes, when she was in her like early 20s, late teens, and played a doomed girl that even Buffy couldn't save, which, oh, you were in a tragedy. I'm starting to see a pattern. So joining me is Robert.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Luna. Or Jenna, if you want. Sure, Luna. And I was like, wait, Luna, Jenna, what is it? Okay, that's fine either way. Do you want us to call you Luna, or do you want us to call you Jenna?
I'm in a frisky mood. You can call me whatever you like.
Just don't call me late for dinner. That's what I always say. And then Adrian.
With a scratchy throat. Hello, how's it going?
Holly, played by Azura Sky, who is a wife, a mother of two of the worst kids ever.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
If these kids had just ended up brutally murdered, I would have stood up and like slow clapped. Like, yeah. You know, they're horrible, just selfish little brats. She's a teacher with some much better behaved kids, which I was kind of like, is this a dream sequence? This is high school. She is kind of mousy. She's kind of not happy with her life, clearly, but no clue what to do with it. Her husband, played by Bryce Pinkham, works at the supermarket, is super excited about a supermarket promotion. Feels like that probably wouldn't be the world's biggest promotion, but okay, he's really excited about it. Everything in her life is just kind of getting through the day. She's got a mom who's very needy and judgmental, and her sister-in-law, played by Ashley Bell, is just horrible. The one that acts like everything is everybody else's fault, including her sister, and that comes back around several times in this movie, her attitude of tormenting her sister, just poking, knowing what buttons to push for her. It's surprising that it took until a mouse in her house bit her finger, I mean, we assume that's what actually happened, before her to start to crack. That, a high school student who she catches drawing naked pictures of her, who she might be getting into kind of like a little bit of an illicit thing on the side with, her suspicions that maybe her husband isn't on the up and up with what's going on with their relationship on his part. And like I said, once again, the kids, who I really would have loved if this movie had ended with them catching on fire. But The Swerve is an exercise in restraint for the viewer. I just wanted to scream at the screen like I was in a Friday the 13th movie in the 80s going, don't go in there! Shoot that motherfucker! Yeah. It's frustrating watching this lady do nothing about her life as she starts to inevitably go kind of insane. And the title refers to, at least partially, a dream or something that possibly happened with some young people who were tormenting her as she was driving back from a unfortunate party who she swerved towards and caused them to have an accident. Did it really happen? Is it just in her head? It was just one of the many moments in here you question how real or not real it is without feeling like for a lot of them you ever really get an answer.
This is one of those that like I'm almost cautious about talking about because for little indie films like this, a lot of times the biggest thing going up against it is the budget. And this is a very limited budget film. Unfortunately, at some points, it feels like that. It feels like something maybe made for TV or something that just doesn't quite feel like a movie. It's also frustrating to talk about because I'm not one of those people who can be into watching a character who just won't say anything and won't stand up for themselves. And this is that for a good 90 minutes. This is someone who, if you were in that situation, I like to believe I would say something at some point to somebody, and she just never does. It just kind of gets worse and worse from that point. And I don't mean the quality of the film. I mean, for her, her life just gets progressively worse till it kind of explodes in a way that I wasn't expecting.
I'll start with the things I didn't like. The editing and the pacing of this film. Like I said, a lot of the characters are written to be horrible people versus just being flawed human beings. And we've seen this type of archetype with mothers who I understand that character a little too well. They captured that portrayal perfectly. Like, this is what it feels like sometimes to be a mother, regardless of whether your kids are good or bad. It's just that feeling of being trapped when you don't know how to stand up for yourself. I feel like they capture that really well. When it comes to her interaction with the characters, which should be equally as strong as the performance that she gives, it's not. Again, we get these characters, they're really horrible. The kids are just like, I'm surprised. Well, let me not say that joke. I'm just surprised that these kids haven't done anything, okay, being white teenage males. And they're just unempathetic, lack of awareness. It's just, but so is she. Like, you can rag on the kids, but her disconnect with her children, where one of her sons gets made fun of for his weight, and she is just, I'm going to continue to act like a suburban white mom and kind of just put on this face. So I appreciate what they're trying to say in the film. I just feel like you either make the other character she interacts with human so we can kind of grapple with all of these emotional like moments, or make this about her paranoia a little bit more. It kind of freaked me out too because I have a mouse. That's why I kept looking at my camera, because I have a mouse in my house. And my roommate thinks I'm crazy, and I'm not. And then we finally saw it, and I was like, it's there. When I saw the mouse there, I was like, okay, well, this narrator is somewhat reliable. But I understand, again, with the title, we're questioning whether she's a reliable narrator. So for me, it did a lot of things well. It was just dragged on too long. Like, we get the point. Yeah. These are horrible people. She's in a marriage she's not happy with. He's a cheater. It just kept taking me out of bonding with this character who, regardless of race differences or age differences, I can connect to her on so many levels, except for the whole having sex with underage students.
That's a good thing to clear that up.
Yeah, let me just say very that out clear. Loud. I'm not into that.
Yeah, that you didn't feel bad about at all when you did. No.
That's actually something that I don't want to say I commend them for putting that in the movie. It's more so, I think that's a kind of a bold choice, because for a lot of the film, you're meant to root for her. Obviously, you see someone going through this and you want them to get out of it. But then she does end up having an affair with a student that's very into her. And it's like, how can you keep rooting for her from that point on?
The movie's kind of saying she's so broken at this point, she is already not really responsible for her own actions. And I don't know how I feel about that statement, because the movie is, even with her ending actions, you're still supposed to be kind of feeling for her, going, I understand how you got here, and I understand why you're making the still really bad decisions, but I understand why you're making them. And the thing with the kid, he's kind of in his own way yet another person manipulating her and taking advantage of her. That she was the victim in that relationship despite the age difference.
I'm really interested in films that base their story in not just trauma, but kind of rooted stuff. So one of the things that muddied this film for me a little bit is there's a real the surface level kind of nod to grandma was possibly mentally ill. Obviously, the sister has, I think we were alluding to substance problems. The mother who we're watching is on meds, sleep meds, because she's hallucinating during the day. And so if that gets more fleshed out with the work of the secondary characters, then maybe we can look at the kids have problems that just like they're not getting acknowledged, hers weren't acknowledged. The mom has a great line when they're at dinner and they're talking about how good the main character's pies are. She's like, oh, well, you know, if we got anything from my mom, it was her cooking. And the sister kind of laughs because we all seem as tortured, she seems to be saying, as everybody else. But there were a lot of parts of the film that I did really like. In the study of her, she shows reverence for the mouse. There's a lot going in this movie, and this is a horrible character, an antagonist to her. But even in its loss and what she was trying to do to it succeeding, she seems kind of upset. When she's serving the pie, she wipes everyone's plate like you would at a restaurant, and she makes sure everybody is served, and then throws her in the trash because there's just this horrible, I will do for everybody because that keeps my connections, which maybe makes me a more normal person or something like that. But to the stuff that I did like, the director of photography, I think it's Daryl Pittman, worked on White Reindeer and Little Sister in the last couple of years. There's some real neat stuff in the first half that's just very economical. There is some stuff in there that just visually is melodramatic that you think that, you know, for a first-time director, I still think he's punching above his weight class. I'm a very big fan, technically, of the music, but there's some disconnect between how reverent I think Sky's performance is. The music can seem overwrought in some scenes, but technically it's perfect. He's playing with the mood, it's light. He'll change not really a genre, but type of instruments to go from sullen to, oh, no, everything's okay, just to really reset tone. And I thought all that was really, really well done.
I agree with you on that for sure. I think there's a lot of things about this that are really well done. I think the biggest problem is that it is longer than it needs to be. It does kind of overstick the point where you're just miserable watching it. You're like, oh, for fuck's sakes, do something, anything. You're just frustrated watching it. And then at the end, I was like, so what were you trying to teach us here? Because you spent the whole movie wagging your finger. And then at the end, I have no clue what it was that you hoped to achieve. Why torment your audience if you're not trying to tell them anything? And I'm not sure that other than this invented scenario, this woman who's going through all this horrible shit, is it saying, hey, send your kids to fucking military school or you too will go on a rampage? I don't know. I'm against military school. My parents always used to threaten me with it. They're like, oh, we'll send you to military school. You don't behave. Those kids needed to go to military school. I'm just saying. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts. Who wants to go first? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Who's first? Who's first? Too late. It's Adrian. Okay.
I think that this plays with some stuff where it doesn't get explored fully. There's that whole swerve that they don't really go back to. You don't know if this is going to be something kind of psychological or if it's just a moody, miserable experience, and it kind of ends up being that. It's well acted. I think both Azura Sky and Ashley Bell, who I remember from The Last Exorcism, I think she's really good. It was actually kind of cool seeing her pop up in this. In fact, I think everyone does a pretty serviceable job because these really do feel like people who are just stuck in what should be the American dream, but it's really not. It's just this existential crisis of, is this really what I want? Am I good enough? And I dig movies like that, but when the ending hits, I don't really understand what the overall message was. And maybe that's my problem, but it's not an entertaining movie. But if you like dramas and you come across this, it's worth checking out. More so on the low end, I'm going to give this 2.5 delicious pies that I will be eating entirely out of 5.
Man, now I want pie. God damn it. Bob, what about you?
Two things I really liked. The music, I think, like I said, it's Mark Corvin, who worked on Cube. He scored The Witch. He scored The Lighthouse, the second season of The Terror. And I really like what they were going for. I don't think they got it. Like I said, I think Azura Sky, I mean, obviously, this is powerhouse stuff. She gets one lash out at the sister, and that's all we get. And it might have been enough for me if we had solidified what was going on with her. So I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 moral dilemmas.
Jenna?
I had just came off of watching Vivarium, so existential crisis is literally my favorite genre of films. And I have that.
You must be a joy to watch movies.
Oh, man. I am also a philosophy major, so it just, you know, makes sense. This film, for me, I appreciate the fact that they're tackling topics clearly about depression, about the pressures of us conforming to a life that does not speak to us, that literally sucks the soul out of us. And the fact that it's solidified through tradition and the cycles of violence, whether it's passive aggressive or direct, I really do appreciate the director really tackling these issues. The emotional beat of the film would have hit a little bit harder if I could see the connections between the characters and the fact that the ending of the film would have a larger impact because this character was going through all this, whether they recognized it or not. It also made me think of American Beauty. I didn't even know this was an indie film, which speaks to the cinematography and the directing. I think that this was an amazingly shot film. The acting was amazing, but the way they handled the content, I think they went a little too deep into the shadow side of depression and anxiety and all these things, and not enough about how this truly resonates with everyone and how it deeply affects the family dynamic, which is equally as important. Again, to Chris saying, what are we supposed to take away from this film? You know what, Adrian, it's not your fault. This is very much a director's film. Like, this is what I'm giving you. Y'all need to watch it. So, I will give this a 3 out of 5 mice or mouse. Is it mice? Mice, yes.
Meese.
3 out of 5 mice that were in the film. Because if you have one, you have multiples. Just like yep.
She cut those meeses to pieces.
I know.
I think this movie is kind of torment to watch. It's got strong performances, but I did feel it was really uneven. The lead is so good and she's so dedicated to this part. I hate to even shit on this film because she obviously was all in. And it's a strong performance, no question about it. Also, great work by the makeup lady once again. At the end, I was like, well, I kind of figured something like this was going to happen. Not this precisely. I kind of spent the whole movie almost hoping that something like this was going to happen because you just want to get out of there. You want her to get out of there. You want her to do anything to shake things up. The fact that that was the best that this film could get us to, I found that kind of predictable. It didn't go anywhere truly interesting with what it had built towards, and nor did I feel like it handled particularly well the swerve itself. Did it happen? Did it not happen? I don't know. It was just quick cut edits. It was nothing really special. They didn't do anything interesting with that. I felt very mixed about this whole thing. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 Babadooks that would have shown up to help the family through this crisis if it had been a 90s sitcom.
Right?
Yeah. Come into your house to help your family.
I was kind of mad this didn't have like that lesbian Bound type of turn, because I love the movie Bound, and I would have really been happy if she had met a woman and then they just kind of went on a killing spree, but that's just me.
No, I'm with you. I think what would have made this movie better is if it wasn't this movie and it was Bound, and that's what we watched.
Yep.